Well, welcome everybody. This is Richard and
Devin.
Hey, hi.
Hey.
So this is the self-created health class. Hey, can we unmute everybody so we can say hello?
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Richard.
Hi. Hi. So we have what appears to be an intimate class today. So it'll be lots and lots of time for everybody to work through their processes and explore this amazing way of handling health issues and other issues besides health too, because it's one of the interesting things about the work is that it's not just health concerns. So where's everybody from?
Oh, I took them off. Hold on.
Okay, hold on. Let's get this back. We tend to mute people a lot, so it's to keep the calls quiet. Okay, you got them unmuted?
Yeah, I'm trying. My computer's been slow, so it's not responding.
May have to reboot it.
Yeah, you might have to do it from your end, Richard.
Okay, how do I do, everybody?
Click participant.
I don't know where that
corner.
Is. Right hand corner, participant.
It says chat with support.
Not
to the arrow with a drop down.
Oh, yeah,
menu.
Chat with support, that button.
No, but if it's right to the left is from you, say
oh, it
everyone.
Says select everyone. Yeah, it's there.
Okay, drop it down to participants. Then click public.
Participants, where does it say public?
To the right, breakout and public, right?
Oh, breakout?
Like,
that's complicated.
Yeah, it's called breakout now.
Oh, breakout.
Changed it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's there now? Hey, wait, why don't I talk with everybody and you can reboot your computer, okay?
Okay, it just worked. Everybody's on mic now.
All right, so where's everybody from?
Alabama.
Florida.
Utah.
Miami.
Well, not everybody wants.
Connecticut.
Miami.
Uh-huh.
And Utah.
Nice.
Boca Raton, Saskatchewan.
I am from Geneva in Switzerland.
Nice.
Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Boca Raton.
Hmm. Okay, well, so Devin, can you put everybody back again? And if that doesn't work,
sure.
May have to reboot your computer.
Okay.
Okay, so what we're going to do today, here's the schedule of events for the self-created health class, is today I'm going to try to cover all the significant information in the workshop. There'll be other pieces that we'll cover as well, of course. But today we're going to try to get everything through. We're going to have as our goal that everybody will find a significant cause, an emotional cause of a condition that you're dealing with. And then you have homework tonight. And the homework is to see if you can use the system before our call tomorrow. Now, generally, about a third of the class gets all the way through to the other side and completely successful. And the rest of the people are somewhere in between, and that's totally as it should be because not everybody's ready to just completely deal with it. But that's where we usually take it. Then the workshop tomorrow is to just really get in and wrestle with the material. Where did you get blocked? How did it not work? What was successful? How do we understand it better? And then a week later, we have a follow-up to just tie together any loose ends and to really own the material completely. So that's how this whole thing is set up. And we have a system. Devin, do you want to explain how the system works about raising your hands and stuff?
Yeah, so basically you can use your touchpad on your phone. If you press 1, that's if you want to ask Richard a question. And then if you press 2, that's for any technical issues you might be having. We actually do a breakout session on the call where you'll be online with another participant, and everybody else is outside that call. So if for any reason you drop the call or there's any issues, call back in, press 2, and I will hook you up with your participant. That's if that happens. Otherwise, the rest of the call, you're going to want to press 1 to speak with Richard.
All right. That sounds really good. Okay. So, I don't know, many of you have already heard the story or seen my video about how I woke up in 1980 with severe flu symptoms and found the emotional cause, released those intense emotions, and the symptoms were gone within an hour. That really shocked me. Then I found, through exploration, I found a series of questions that you can use to help discover emotional cause. And by 1983, 84, I had really worked out that system perfectly well. But I knew it wasn't a complete system, because just because you know what the emotional cause is and you can release the intensity of those emotions, which I knew were crucial steps in the process, that clearly wasn't the completion of the system. And it took me another 25 years, roughly, to figure out the rest of the process and how we could do this. So what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through the discovery steps today so you can find the emotional cause. I'll work with one or two of you over the phone and help you find the emotional cause directly as a model of how you can help each other. Then we'll do a breakout session where we'll pair people up together to help find emotional causes. But once you have the emotional cause, then the work moves to the other six steps of the process. So just because you know something, just because you have a map, doesn't mean you know the territory. And so the first step is knowing what the cause is. But the rest of the steps are crucial to work through the process. And to me, the most exciting thing is watching a person go all the way through the process to the other side and then connect with a joy and a love and a gratitude that's unfathomable. They could never have imagined that they could feel so good about a situation that had been so difficult or painful previously. So that's where it starts. And if anybody has any questions, you can always, you know, hit the 1 button and I'll take the questions along the way. And I don't mind just stopping mid-flow and answering questions. So, as I think, if anyone does not have the Self-Created Health Workshop notes, hit number 2 on your keypad and Devin will make sure that you have access to them. Oh, we have quite a few people who need to get the notes. So Devin will proceed to make sure that you have them. And she'll email them to you post-haste, I imagine. Okay, so these notes are very helpful because this is just really the entire workshop outline. There's another feature to this workshop, I guess we should have mentioned, but it's that all of these calls are being recorded. And when you want, if you had to leave the phone for some reason, or if you're in Switzerland and you needed to go to bed, or you're somewhere where it's inconvenient or impossible to be on the call, these calls will be made available. Usually it takes 2 or 3 days for us to get it up online, but we will give you the links so that you can listen as many times as you like to any section or the whole thing and be able to get access to all the information. Wow, looks like most of you didn't get the notes. That's really weird. All right, so Devin will have her work cut out for her for a few minutes, getting that done. So, there are 9 discovery questions, and all these questions are in the notes, so don't worry about it if I start talking about them. And one of the things about this workshop that I really like a lot is that we don't need to know your personal story. The people who are helping you out don't need to know the graphic details about what happened and how painful it was. What is important is that you know the story and that you know what the issue is that you're dealing with. And then when you process those emotions, you know where to go with them. And so that's a really nice aspect. And so the first step in the process is what we call the discovery, and that's understanding the emotional cause. After we deal with the discovery issues, or the discovery issue, I should say, then the second step, which we'll cover after we deal with the discovery, is the release process. And these are the techniques for getting those emotions out of your system. And most psychotherapy kind of ends there. That's sort of where it finishes. But what happens typically in Gestalt therapy is that a person expresses the emotion about how they were abandoned or betrayed or whatever the issue is, and they feel it and they yell at the chair or they, you know, hit the baton on something and they feel like they've released the intensity. They had this wonderful cathartic experience, but nothing has really changed. And their life goes on, and they do it week after week, and it doesn't really shift anything. The third step of the process is what I call insight. And this is what I think of as the dangerous step of the process, because it's dangerous if you haven't done step 1 and 2. Because a lot of people will go straight into insight because it's spiritual, it's new age, it's taking responsibility, it's realizing, I did this to me. I generated this reality, and I'm hurting myself. And that's true, but it's totally self-destructive to jump to step 3 if you haven't done the steps 1 and 2 of the discovery and the release process. The insight is essential, and the insight's pretty easy to get hold of. And it takes some courage, but it's there. The fourth step is this depth of remorse that you hurt yourself, which naturally leads to the fifth step of the self-forgiveness, which is a whole process I've developed. The sixth step is automatic. You don't have to try to do this one. It's the self-love that emanates from it, and then the explosive self-love that you can't even contain that occurs as a result of this whole process. So we're going to focus at first, of course, on the discovery. And you get to understand that the body had the ability to have symptoms, not as a dysfunction, but rather as a communication from your higher consciousness on how you would stop loving. And that's a really huge point. It isn't that the body is punishing you or the universe is punishing you or God doesn't like you or something like that. It's that we suppressed emotion, and this was our body's communication, our body, mind, spirit's communication to us on how we had shut down, reminding us to open ourselves up, reminding ourselves to be whole. And that's what it's about. So, see, I think that pretty much covers the basis of it. And so I'd like to teach you now how to work with the discovery process. It's actually so easy, it's almost silly. But sometimes it's hard. It just depends on the case, but a lot of times it happens very, very fluidly, very, very quickly, and very, very easily to find this thing that other people have found very difficult. You know, you read books like the one by Louise Hay. I think it's called You Can Heal Your Body or some title like that. And she goes into, well, the knee means this, and the back means this, and the neck means this, and if you've got elbow pain, it means that. And these are what I call pat answers. And pat answers are generalizations. And generalizations are often not true. And there may be some basis to it overall, but that's not a very accurate way of going about things. Rather, if you work with these discovery questions that I'm going to show you, then you find out exactly what it is, and there's no second guessing. So, here, does everybody have the class notes now? Let's just raise your hand, hit number 2 if you still don't have the class notes, because I want to make sure everybody has them before we proceed. We have 2 people.
I have about 5 more people I have to send them to.
Okay. Okay, so we have...
Just be a few minutes.
Okay, a few more minutes, we'll have the class notes. Well, it's okay. I can just go ahead and start going through the process because you'll have the notes in a couple of minutes, and everything is here in the notes. And if you want to jot down a few words on paper yourself, that's great too. The cool thing about these discovery questions is that you don't need to know, like I said, you don't need to know their story in order to do them. And these questions are so innocuous. It almost sounds like something a doctor would ask, like, so what are the symptoms and when did it begin and what emotions do you feel? It's just things that are just so basic to the condition. But here's the deal. Everything about the condition is like a hologram. It's all painting a three-dimensional picture of what we didn't want to experience that is causing the physical expression of the condition. Now, the condition may be something in your body, but it can be a condition of the wallet or a condition of relationship, or it could even be a condition in your children. There are times where a parent or parents are very upset because something very bad is happening to their child who's only 4 years old, and rather than trying to run the 4-year-old through the process, they run themselves through the process. What are we doing individually or collectively that is impacting this child in this kind of a way? And that is a very powerful, powerful way of operating. So we take deeper and deeper levels of responsibility. And one final thought before we begin is that this class requires more courage and willingness than any other quantum touch class by far. It's not for everybody. This class is for people who are willing to explore, find, and release the emotional causes. And that's not easy stuff. Blind spots are by definition invisible. Blind spots are invisible. That's why we made them blind spots, because we didn't want to see or feel or confront specific emotional situations. And so we hid these things from ourselves. And with that said, I shall begin to cover the questions, the discovery questions. The discovery questions are what you could ask yourself, but it's usually an awful lot easier to work with somebody else. The first time I taught a workshop on this, I did a little experiment, and I had the class, I went through all the questions with the class, so everybody understood them, and then I had the people in the workshop asking themselves the questions and writing down their answers. And then I said, how many of you have had a major insight? And it was less than 10%. Had a major insight. Then I said, okay, let's ask each other these questions. And how many have had a major insight? And everybody in the workshop had a major insight. And it was kind of cute because we had this 14-year-old boy in the workshop who was working with a psychotherapist. And he helped the psychotherapist understand why the psychotherapist had this major wrist problem. And the guy's wrist when he confronted the issue, his wrist heated up and the pain completely disappeared out of his wrist. And the kid was so proud of himself because here he was, this teenager who had helped a professional psychotherapist deal with an emotional issue. I never followed up on him, but I always wondered, if that became an important experience in his life. All right. You've got the notes, I assume, or very close to them. And so the first question is, let's just create a title. What's the name of the problem? And that's about as much information as I really need about the story. So a person could say back pain. Okay, that's the title of a story, or whatever it is. They just give the name a problem, or you give the problem a name, I should say. All right, the first question is not very confrontive. When did it begin? What's the time frame? And, the answer might be, about 7 years ago or 2 months ago or 30 years ago. It doesn't really matter. But you write down every answer the person gives you verbatim. You don't want to lead the person in a question. You don't want to offer answers to their questions. You don't want to help them out by choosing words. You want to let them use their own words all the time. So, if I say, the second question is, what are the symptoms? And I ask them to describe those symptoms in detail. So they might start by saying, my shoulder hurts. And my only encouragement is describe how, in what way, tell me more, something like that. But I don't say, is it a stabbing pain? Is it a burning pain? Is it a dull pain? Is it a I don't feed them ideas of what the answers are because those are my words. And it's extremely important that every answer is in their words, not mine. So you write down every word, exactly how they said it, verbatim. The words will provide clues to the causes. It's as simple as that. Now, the one thing I will do is if they just say there's pain, that's not enough of an answer for me. I want more information about the pain. Go into the pain in more detail. Tell me more about it. How does it feel? Describe it. Get into it. I want as many words to write down as I can possibly get. Now, some people are very articulate, and they will just buzzfeed you words as fast as you can write or type. They'll say, it's this hopeless pain. It's this desperate pain. It's this screaming pain. It's, they'll come up with all these words, and it's great. Other people, you kind of you're pulling it out of them, just getting it out. But get as many words as you can because the more information you have, the easier it is to find the emotional cause. The third question. Okay, so the second question is, what are the symptoms? And keep looking for as many symptoms as you can. The third question is really an important question also. What emotions do you feel as a result of having the condition? And again, pump them for as many emotions as you can. Have them break it down as much as they can. And again, write down verbatim exactly what they say. Now, here's a corollary of the work. You don't ever tell people this, but this is for you to know. The emotions a person feels as a result of having the condition are the emotions they didn't want to feel that caused the condition. So I worked with a woman recently who, the problem that she wanted to confront, this was kind of strange, I was at a retreat, and she had a car that couldn't be fixed. It kept on overheating. And I had her describe the symptoms of the car as overheating. And I said, when I got down further in the questions, we'll get to this in a minute, I said, what judgments, this would be the fourth question, I said, what judgments do you have about the car? And she said, the car is doomed. I thought, that's such an odd thing to say about a car. The car is doomed. And when we found out what the emotional cause was, when we put it all together, her whole family felt doomed because they were all fundamentalists who knew they were all going to hell. And they were unwilling to shift their perspective. And she adored all of these people, but she couldn't reach any of them. And they were all doomed to suffer in their life with this extreme guilt and self-hatred. And then when she processed the emotions about her family, of course, the car could be fixed. She'd been to all these different mechanics and nobody could fix it. So it's not just the physical conditions. It can be pretty much anything that you can work on. All right. So again, so if anybody has any questions about any of these things, hit one and we can go into more detail. All right. So the emotions, really dive into the emotions. What other emotions do you feel? What else do you feel emotionally? What else, you know, and really try to go into it. And don't fall for it if somebody says, well, what emotion do you feel? Well, I don't like it. Well, that's not an emotion. What emotion is that you don't like it? So really dive in. Sometimes you'll actually see people in their answers they give you are answering other questions on the list. Write everything down that's useful. Okay, so that's the emotions. Another fabulous question is, what judgments do you have about the condition? They might start throwing the judgments out while they're talking about their emotions. In fact, that's not uncommon. And that's great. Write it down. It doesn't matter that they got them in the wrong order. Just put everything down that's useful. So what is a judgment? It's bad. It's wrong. It shouldn't be there. I hate it. These kinds of judgments that they may have. And these are also painting a three-dimensional picture of what emotions and what judgments were involved in the creation of the condition. Okay, that's the fourth question, what judgments? The fifth question is, what does the condition keep you from doing or affect your life or cause you to do differently? Actually, those are two questions that got kind of tied together there, five and six, but it's all the same. So what's it keep you from doing is really tied together or cause you to do differently. I kind of broke them down into two, but they're really the same question. It's essentially how it's affecting their life. So the words that they're using are like metaphors for what's going on emotionally. Like, it's keeping me from standing up straight. It's keeping me from being able to move forward. It's keeping me from, you know, whatever it is, from feeling comfortable, from, you know, feeling okay, or whatever the words are. And then you simply translate those into emotions because that's how they're feeling internally. I remember I used that example about standing up straight. A woman was explaining that the condition wouldn't let her stand up straight, but standing up straight to her meant fully being herself and being powerful. And the whole issue in her life was that she was always cowering emotionally to some situations involving certain people. So the seventh question is one of my most favorite questions, and sometimes it's the only question that helps me to get to the other side of an issue when it gets really difficult. I call it imaginary physiology. It could also be thought of as like a cartoon image. And when there isn't enough information sometimes to find emotional causation just based on the other replies of the questions, sometimes this question will come to the rescue and you'll be able to get it. What this is if you imagine this symptom like a cartoon or dream image, what would you imagine is happening? Now, I really try to get them away from the physiology. Well, I think the cartilage is rubbing up against the bone, and I think that the blah, blah, blah. No, I don't want that. I want to hear a story like, well, there's somebody with a file and they're filing away my bone, or there's somebody with a pickaxe, or there's a dump truck inside me, or somebody's got a towel and they're squeezing all the water out of it. That's the kind of story I want to hear. I want to hear a cartoon image. I don't want to have physiology here. In one very wonderful and dramatic case, I was in Japan, and I was just like here in this workshop, I'm going to help a couple people find emotional causes over the phone here. But in that class, I was going to help a couple people, you know, do an out loud version of how we find emotional cause. And this one woman said something I really didn't want to hear. She said that I have tight shoulders, which is what I really don't want to hear, because the more emotion you have about a condition, the easier it is to find emotional cause. I was hoping to hear, well, I'm dying of cancer, or I've got a severe migraine headache, or, you know, my back is killing me. Great. We can work with those really easily. And this woman said, my shoulders are tight. And I thought, oh, boy. So I asked the questions, what emotions do you feel? And she goes, well, it bothers me. And it didn't give me hardly, you know, it's tight. It doesn't feel good. I was getting answers that I can't do much with because they're too general. They didn't have enough juice behind them. They didn't have a lot of energy. And I finally got down to my question 7, imaginary physiology. And I asked her, I said, what do you imagine? Not as physiology, just as a cartoon image is happening with the shoulders. And she said to me, it was translated, of course, she said, it's as if there was a butt-headed goblin sitting on my shoulders. A butt-headed goblin? What? And I said, all right, when you were, you know, I kind of was time to tie it all back together. And I said, when you were 14 and you started having these symptoms, was there a butt-headed goblin in your life? And she thought about it, and she said, yes. I was really surprised. It turned out to be her piano teacher who would hit her every time she made a mistake on the keyboard. So she'd get these really tight shoulders and be really afraid of making mistakes. And that was the issue. And then her shoulders could open up and feel great. So that's how you work with imaginary physiology. Make them make a cartoon type of dream image and not talk about the physical physiology. I don't use the other questions very much, but they're there if you need them and you want to go to them. But they are useful. What impact does this condition have on other people? Who else is affected by the condition? In other words, I was with this one woman helping her out, and she had chronic fatigue syndrome. And she'd say, oh, can you open the window another quarter of an inch? Oh, no, close it at a quarter of an inch. And she's just telling everybody in her life what to do every minute of the day. Well, what impact did that have on other people? She gets to control them. Well, what was the emotional cause? She was feeling controlled, and she was angry that she'd been controlled. So she got her revenge by being helpless. So the last question is, how would your life be different if you were well? And so this is a question I don't usually use the last two questions, and usually you don't need to. You can just get everything you need from the first 7 questions. But if you want to get extra, go for it, because they'll just give you more information. So you ask all the questions, you take your time, and then when I have all the information, I try to get from those 7 major questions, I try to get 30 or even 40 replies from the people based on those questions, things that I've written down. Once I have all those replies, then what I'll do is I'll put a check mark or underline the really intense answers, the ones that have the most juice behind them. The one that says, well, describe the pain. It's a screaming pain. You know, something that's like really intense. And I sort out those particular answers. And then what I do, and this is highlighted on your notes, I say the following words. If you go back to around the time of, and I'm picking out the time when they said the condition began, you know, was there a situation that had some of these components? It's a very simple question. Go back to that time when the thing started, or just before it started, and was there a situation that had some of these components? And I will one by one slowly say some of the loudest symptoms or words that they, or emotions that they had told me. Was there a situation where you felt absolutely helpless? And they'll think for a moment and they go, oh yeah, there was a situation like that. And then I might say, well, can you give me a title of that story? I don't need to know the whole story because we're keeping the privacy intact. They'll say, my ex. All right. Breaking up with my ex. Okay, that's the title of the story. Great, that's all I need to know. And I'd say, well, so I look for another symptom and I'll say, okay, did you feel like you, and I'll just walk through the symptoms one by one, that you were, no matter how much pain you felt, it would never go away. Yes. Did you feel the help, you know, furious? Yes. Did you feel frustrated? Yes. Did you feel? And I just walked through the words that they told me. And once I've covered the real major words, then I just one by one walk through all the less more. Did you feel there was nothing you could do? Yes. Did you feel nobody could hear you or whatever? Yeah, whatever the words are, I just walk through them one by one. What you'll see is 39 out of 40 or all 40 will fit like a glove to describe that emotional situation. And then I will continue and say, what did you do with those emotions at the time? And they'll always say the same thing. They say, well, those are the ones I never wanted to feel. And then I hand them the list, and I'll say, well, maybe you kept them in your body and you're feeling them as physical symptoms instead of emotional. And they would look over the list and go, oh, because here it is. Here's all the stuff they didn't want to feel emotionally. And now they're feeling all those same emotions and experiences, but they're experiencing it in their body. And then they get it. So This is the basic way that it works. And so any questions about the questions? You just hit number one if you'd like to ask a question. Okay.
Okay, let's hear from Richard.
Yeah, I wanted to know if this only addresses physical issues, or could you work on something non-physical?
Yeah, you can work on anything. Because the perspective that I'm working from is that this is a self-created reality, that the reality is a hologram of beliefs, attitudes, thoughts, feelings, choices, and decisions that we've made. And so if there's something in your life that's having an emotional impact on you, especially one that you don't like, you can find the part of yourself that's feeling these emotions, trace it back to a time, and then process it, like that woman with the car. We were doing a car healing. Or some parents I knew of years ago who had an autistic son who they each had their own emotional hang-ups and reasons why they didn't feel capable of being parents to a healthy child. And they processed their emotions individually and collectively. And then they started speaking meditation to the child, saying, hey, we love you as you are, but if you choose to be cognitive and brilliant, we're capable now of having a smart child. So do what you like. The child started learning almost immediately and entered school on his grade level. We don't know the limits of where this goes, but you can certainly work on issues that are central to you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sure. Okay. Any other questions? All right. So, see if I skipped anything in my notes. I'm kind of looking them over right now. I kind of was just doing it ad lib. Yeah, I think I kind of covered it. Okay. Yeah. Again, the more emotion a person feels about the condition, the easier it is to figure it out. If they don't have much going on, it's very frustrating. And, you know, it's fascinating how, like, cancer patients who allow themselves to feel their anger, anger to the condition, anger to the doctors, anger to everybody, they're the ones who live the longest. But as a rule, the cancer patients in the industry are known as the nicest people in the world, prince of a fellow, too good to be true, and so forth, because they're just being really nice all the time. Because culturally, we don't have a lot of room to be these angry people, unless you just get identified with that. And what's eating you? Oh, nothing, just the cancer, because it just takes them out. But when people express this living, powerful, vibrant emotion of the anger, honest expression of anger is kind of like a rainstorm. It just washes everything clean. Do we have another hand up?
Yep, we sure do. Constantina?
Yes, hi, Richard.
Hi.
My question is, what if you don't remember when it began?
That's okay. Let's just go back. When was it? All your life? Was it when you were like 10? You know, it doesn't have to be exact. It's not like okay. June 23rd, 1947 or something. It's you know, the rough period. You'll get it, because this isn't exact. This just takes you there.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. So, without further ado, perhaps I should do a demonstration of how this works. And so,
have any volunteers?
Yeah, who would like to just have me walk through the process and we can find an emotional cause?
Okay, I saw Marbeth.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Richard.
Hello. So good to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I've been wanting to do this for a long time.
Oh, excellent. All right. So is there a title to your condition that you'd like to work with?
Asthma.
Asthma. Okay, that's easy enough. Let me opening up a blank piece of paper here on the screen. Okay. Let's get this a little bigger. Just try to do my own technology here. Okay, that's better. Okay. So, when did it begin, roughly?
Age is 12 to 13.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. That's close enough. And what were the symptoms?
Couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Initially, it was like asthmatic bronchitis, so I used to get sick with the asthma.
Yeah.
But now it's just difficulty breathing, you know.
Okay. Can you tell me more?
Yeah. It's like I feel suffocated, maybe I just can't express emotion. That it gets all snarled up inside, and Lord knows I've tried many different ways of releasing this.
Sure.
And, yeah.
Any other emotions you've? Okay, so any other? Let's start with the symptoms. Any other symptoms about not being able to breathe and feeling suffocated?
I guess maybe some fear about it.
Fear.
It feels tight inside. It feels constricted. My airways feel constricted.
Mm-hmm.
I feel agitated. And sometimes panicky.
Okay, now, just as part of the process, so everybody knows what I'm doing on my side. I wrote down, couldn't breathe, difficulty breathing, suffocated, can't express emotions, all snarled up inside, fear tight, constricted, agitated, and panicky. Those are the words that I wrote down. I'm highlighting suffocated, panicky, you know, things like that, the really strongest words. And, you know, all snarled up inside, you know, stuff that couldn't express emotion, these kinds of words. So that's just how I'm actually doing the process on my side, okay? So let's go to the next question. What emotions do you feel as a result of having the condition? Or, you know, since we're also dealing back in time, you know, what emotions did you feel?
Initially, I would say rage, anger.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, I guess, unjustly accused at the time. And betrayed.
Mm-hmm. They're all pretty big, yeah.
Big ones, yeah.
Yeah.
I felt very small and helpless and powerless.
And now?
And isolated, too. Now, with it, it's just, I guess, you know, it will happen sometimes if I feel stressed.
Yeah.
If I feel, you know, some deep emotional thing that I may not even be able to identify, it can happen.
Okay. All right. So it gets triggered sometimes.
Yes.
All right. So what judgments have you had about the asthma?
I have hated it. I have looked at it as a blessing because it led me on my spiritual path. But also, I just a lot of sadness and pain and grief about it.
A lot of good information. Okay. And what has the condition kept you from doing?
It keeps me from being a fully physical person because there are a lot of things I can't do. I will push beyond things, you know, like I'll do Pilates and, you know, I'll walk and swim, but then I'll need an inhaler to do it.
Oh.
So, you know, so it definitely keeps me from being the fullest physical expression of myself.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And when we look at the imaginary physiology like a cartoon image of what's happening inside there, what do you imagine as like a cartoon that would come up for you? Or is it?
It's like, again, I'm seeing like something clamping the airways of like my bronchioles. I'm seeing like, you know, those big, thick clamps that, you know, they use on tarps or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm seeing those like clamping down on my airways. And
okay.
And I also feel like, and I'm not getting, you know, like a huge visual image. I saw the clamp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like I'm seeing like a gray cloud, just kind of like very thick and suffocating, coming down inside of my lungs.
Okay. That's useful. Okay. Now Now, I feel like we have enough information. What's that, about 5 minutes? We worked on that. So then, if you go back to the time when you were, say, 12 or 13, roughly.
Okay.
And emotionally, did you feel betrayed?
Yes.
Okay. Did you feel unjustly accused?
Yes.
Okay. Did you feel rage and anger?
Yes.
Okay. Did you feel all snarled up inside?
Yes.
Okay. Did you feel that you were isolated?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, those were, and did you ever feel panicky?
Panicky, yeah, because I couldn't breathe, and then also helpless.
No, I'm talking about the emotions you felt in your life, not just your condition.
Oh, yeah. Did I feel panicky at that time?
Yeah.
No, but I did later.
Okay, later. Okay, so let's walk through the other ones. Emotionally, at that time, did you feel like you couldn't breathe? That you were being suffocated?
Yes.
Okay. And so that's the direct tie-in. Okay, and that you couldn't express emotions?
Yeah.
Okay. And that there was a fear?
Yeah, and then also, not only could I not express it, but I wasn't heard.
Yeah, because that's, if you were heard, then you could express it. But because you wouldn't be heard, you knew you couldn't express it. So that made you feel tight and constricted, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I shouldn't lead you, but you had already said all the other stuff. And so did all this cause you to feel small, helpless, and powerless?
Yes.
Okay, so...
And it also made me really, I guess, hate myself, too.
Yeah. So you hated it, but you hated you. So there, that. So what we've basically done is we've walked through the symptoms of your condition, and we tied it back to the time when you had the symptoms came on. So from a metaphysical perspective, all time is actually simultaneous. It's all happening now. And if we haven't processed the intensities of the emotions from the time that they actually occurred, we'll actually keep the resonance of those vibrations in our system currently. It's one of the reasons we can do quantum touch on a condition in the past and have an impact on it, because all these things are still happening now. So the sadness and the pain and the grief and the rage and the anger and all those emotions, they are an expression of what didn't get handled. So without going into detail, I can imagine that your family or parents did not appreciate intense expressions of anger.
No.
No. The message was don't...
Not from me.
Not from you.
Not from me.
Well, maybe it was okay if Dad did it, but no one else, or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So that's the message. Dad can be angry, but no one else is allowed to be. And you'll get punished for it. So then, you know, you end up with asthma. Here's an interesting little tidbit that I came across years ago when I was researching this stuff. Asthmatic children were sent to summer camp. And the further the camp was from home, the less asthma they'd feel. So if the camp was 20 miles from home, they'd still have a lot of asthma. But if the camp was on the opposite coast, oh, their asthma's gone. And a lot of times it had to do with, you know, mom suffocating them, you know, mom being down their throat. But it sounds like yours had a lot to do with, you know, feeling like you have to constrict the anger and the rage inside you. Not let yourself feel, you know, unjustly accused and betrayed and the rage and the anger and stuff like that. So that is how we find the emotional cause of a condition. So what you would want to do when we get to the release point is take that whole situation, and we'll cover this in the next section of class, but the point is you will be doing intense release work, especially for the 12 and 13-year-old. And then also giving yourself permission, you know, in your current life to find healthy ways to express and release anger, particularly, you know, anger that makes you feel, you know, constricted or helpless or powerless or small or, you know, whatever, unjustly accused, anything that's blocking it. But that's the issue. The issue is you constricted yourself because that's how you were trained. And so first they do it to you, then we do it to ourselves.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me see. So you got a pretty good idea of what's on the list here. So I could copy this to Devin, and she could probably send you my notes. Let me see if I can do that right now. Let's see. Just gonna check this out. Instant message. This will work. Okay, there it is. I just sent Devin the notes, and she can pass them on to you. Something we should have done in other classes, but it just occurred to me. What's that?
I said, yes, I can.
All right, very good. Okay, excellent. So is there someone else who would like to walk through the process before I have you all doing it with each other?
Yeah, we have Marianne. She raised her hand earlier.
Okay. Hey,
are you there, Marianne?
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Yes. I'm having issues with the lower left leg for a year.
Okay, 1 year. Okay. See what we can do. All ready? Okay, so what are the symptoms?
The symptoms are very sharp pain, numbness, a feeling that the joint catches and goes out of alignment. Causing pain. Searing, stabbing.
Okay, I always say it again. Searing?
Uh-huh.
Like a searing pain.
A stabbing pain.
Okay. All right.
Loud cracks and pops.
Okay. What else?
There are two parts to it. One part happened 2 years previous, which is tied into the second part later.
I'm listening.
The first part I associated with the loss of a relationship.
Well, no, I don't want your conclusions at this point.
Okay.
I just want to ask you about the symptoms and the emotions. So I want... It may be all tied in, and you're probably right, but I don't want to go there because that would be drawing conclusions. I don't want to draw any conclusions myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one was due to a physical accident.
Okay, so there's an accident, but I want to know the symptoms.
Symptoms.
Yeah.
Severe pain, ulcerated. And numbness, the same three I said before.
Okay, all right.
That's the first part.
Okay. Okay, so so we got it all now? We got the first and second part going?
I think so.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So what emotions have you felt or do you feel as a result of having the condition?
rejection.
Okay.
Defeated.
Uh-huh.
Lost.
Did you say lost?
Lost.
Okay, lost.
And loss.
Okay.
Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness.
Yeah. Okay.
Self-hate. Loathing.
Say blessing? I didn't hear that.
Loathing.
Loathing.
Self-loathing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Unclear.
Mm-hmm.
Misunderstanding.
Okay.
I think that's got it.
That's a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
all right. And what did the condition, what judgments did you have about the condition?
Failure. And I was a failure.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's the only one I can come up with.
Okay.
That.
All right. That works. And what did the condition keep you from doing?
Exercising.
Mm-hmm.
Walking normal.
Okay.
That's about all I can come up with on that one.
All right. And did it cause you to do anything else differently?
Other than walk, the way I walk,
okay,
changed,
right,
and it affected the rest of the body.
All right. So what did, at the imaginary physiology, what did you imagine this, as like a image, cartoon or something that was going on inside there, not the real physiology?
Captain Hook with the peg leg.
Okay, so it was as if you, okay, say it in a different kind of way. What do you mean, Captain Hook?
As though I lost the lower half of my leg.
Oh, okay, as if you lost the lower half of the leg.
Huh? I lost a part of me.
Okay,
which I did.
Okay, so you lost a part of you. Okay, that's what I needed to know. All right. So let's take a look. Was there an emotional situation? When did the first one happen? What was the time date on the first part of it?
That was December 25th, 2011.
Okay, so that's like 3 years ago? Two and a half,
mm-hmm.
3 years ago?
Yes.
Okay, so we're looking at a year to almost 3 years ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Was there an emotional situation that, where you felt rejected?
Yes.
And defeated?
Yes.
And lost, and a sense,
yes,
of loss?
Yes.
And anger?
Yes.
And self-hatred?
Yes.
And loathing?
Yes.
And that you were a failure?
Yes.
Okay. And stabbing, searing pain?
Yes.
And becoming numb.
Yes.
Okay. And in a sense, out of alignment with yourself.
Yes.
And okay, so here we have a situation. As I walk through the symptoms that I wrote down, I said sharp pain, numbness, out of alignment, searing pain, stabbing pain, severe pain, ulcerated, rejection, defeated, lost, loss, anger, forgiveness, self-hate, loathing, unclear. It all kind of ties together. So you now know an emotional connection with all those symptoms.
Yes.
All right. So that was the discovery process. And I'll copy the list over here for Devin. It's a nice idea. Just give them to her. She can then bring them over to you so you have a copy of your own list. And I highlighted a few of them, put little stars by them. But what happens is, what did you do with those emotions when that whole situation was coming up? Were you successful at expressing them effectively, or did you feel that you were holding them in?
Oh, I felt like I was holding them in.
Yeah.
The people were not around for me to express toward them.
All right. And so what happens is, when we don't feel we have a way to release the intensity of the emotions, especially the anger is the biggie, what happens is we internalize it and we symptomize it. It was interesting. I was reading about Freud, of all people, and he came up with a word he called conversion. And conversion means when a person converts their emotions into symptoms. Well, the medical establishment of his time hated the idea that people could get themselves well by processing their emotions. So they got furious at him, and he made a deal with them. Okay, I won't talk about medicine if you don't talk about psychology. So they separated the fields, which was insane, of course, but conversion still happens. And so now you have a clear map of where to go to heal and cause that leg to start healing quickly. You got it?
I got it.
All
Thank
right.
you.
You're welcome. And, okay, great. Thank you so much. So, all right, so that is how we go about it. And you see how easy it can be to find something that's been hidden for, you know, months, years, or decades. It's right there. It's just wanting to come out and be expressed. And like I said, the body has the ability to show us where we stop feeling our emotions. Not as a dysfunction, but a communication from our higher consciousness. And instead of simply learning in high school, you know, okay, here's how you do it. You just find the emotions here, and then you learn how to express them in a healthy manner. And then you can learn how to listen to each other's feelings and, you know, be a whole lot better than some of the really horrible classes that I took. Just giving people the basic information on how to work with emotion. Anyway, that's my rant about education. Any questions up to this point on what we're doing and what you'd like to know? Press 1 if you'd like to ask any questions. It's a very small, intimate class. We have lots of time.
Nancy, did you have a question?
Technical question. Oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Not anymore.
Just okay, there you are. Something and it works. So that's all. Thank you.
Okay, very
okay,
good.
Perfect.
Well, if anybody would like to ask any questions about the process, this would be a great time to do so. So raise your hand, hit 1 if you have any questions about the work. Otherwise, we will go on.
Looks like Margaret has a question.
I was wondering if you had gone to a doctor and he said that you have a kidney condition, how would you use this process to find out what the emotions are that are stuck in the kidney to release it?
Well, wouldn't I wouldn't worry about what the doctor said in that regard. I would just use the questions exactly like I taught them to find out the emotions. I'll tell you something that happened to me. I was involved in a very extremely painful breakup, and I had grieved, and I decided one day that I didn't have to grieve anymore, that I was done grieving. It was a very stupid decision, but that's just what I decided. And this was a long time ago, it's like in the early 80s. And I went over to the turntable to put a different record, that's how old that was, on the turntable. And I was lifting the record up to the turntable, and I experienced an excruciating back pain. And I fell to my knees and thought about it for a moment and realized this is not back pain, this is kidney pain. This is not a normal back pain. This is kidneys. And kidneys, you know, are, you know, they, I'm pissed off. You know, it's piss, right? This is, I'm angry. I'm in pain. So I let myself grieve. And I just started crying and just started feeling the intensity of the emotions that I didn't want to experience. And I just started letting myself feel. And 5 minutes later, I got up. I had no kidney pain at all. I mean, I could have been taken to the hospital. I was in excruciating pain. It was done. It didn't come back ever in my life, that pain like that. So, yes, there are real symptoms, and the doctors say real things, and they really mean it, and it's probably there on the tests and so forth. But it doesn't mean it can't get better, and it doesn't mean that's the only point of view or way to work with it necessarily. So it's always worth a try to see if we can find the emotional causes of the condition. And in fact, I haven't put this in the notes, but one of the things that may be useful is even what the doctor said it was. Because sometimes there's a word or two that they'll throw in, you know, or they may give you their prognosis and say, well, it's helpless. I mean, it's hopeless, rather, you know. If we have no hope for you, whatever they say, that could be useful information because it's more of the hologram of what somebody else is saying about the thing. So it doesn't usually happen, but it's theoretically possible because even sometimes just the name of the thing that they give it could provide some clues as to what it is. I don't have any examples of that, but it can potentially happen. Any other question about that?
No, thank you.
You're welcome. Sure. Okay, any other questions?
We have Marcella.
Okay.
Yes, hi, Richard.
Hi.
Going through all these questions with us, I think we are in a state of mind that we are wanting to be open to what is going on with us or in that process. If you want to use this with a client, and do you think everybody who comes to a session with us would be that open? But have you ever had anybody who cannot go to the moment of those feelings, that cannot find out what is going on with them?
I would say that this process works better than 90% of the time, closer to 95%. And occasionally, once in a while, it won't work, but that's a lot better than anything else I know of out there. Besides, you know, I mean, to be able to be scoring that high is really good. But look what happened here. You know, here's two people with very different kinds of conditions who have completely different emotional sets who were able to find cause. And I didn't probe. I don't know their story. I didn't ask anything real personal, did I?
No, you didn't.
I don't know anything about what really happened there. But I just asked them to come up with these simple answers. And I'll tell you a really great example of this. A friend asked me to work with a woman he's very close to. And she had this condition. And all I know about her was she had this condition where she had this terrible breakout on her face. And she told me about how embarrassing it was and all these embarrassing kinds of experiences around it. And then I asked her if she could tie it into an emotional situation, and she said, yes, she could tie it into an emotional situation. Well, okay, great. And I said, well, would you like to tell me what the title of that story is? And she said, no, it's too embarrassing. I don't need to know. That's fine. I don't need to know what the story was about. This is exactly why people who are emotionally closed will feel safe, because we don't need to know their story. They need to know their story. They need to be willing to feel their story. And we've had students who've gone through this workshop, Devin will remember, where somebody did not want to do the process work. And they went through the entire class watching everybody else going through the process work, going either all the way through it or partway through it or getting stuck at this or that spot or whatever it was, and knowing where they were and feeling empowered because they understood the process and they were able to take it to the next step. And she finally said at the end of the class, I have chosen not to do this now. But when I decide to do it, I'll do it, but not now. I said, well, that's very empowered. It's not like she said, I'm helpless, I have no ability to do this. She said, I've chosen not to. But if and when I decide to do it, I know exactly how to do it. I thought, fantastic. That is so that's such an empowered thing to say, as opposed to, I can't, you know. It was, I choose not to. Great. And when you choose to, you will. If you choose not to, you won't. But that's empowered. And she was very empowered through that process. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate the privacy that this method affords people. Because our emotions are very vulnerable to us. And one thing I like to say in these workshops is that our pain goes deeper than we want to know. But our love goes deeper than we can know. And that is really the crucial element of this work, is that the pain takes us so deep within ourselves. And for those who are willing to dive into the deep end of the water and go through that pain, if you go past the pain, then you get to the treasures that sank all the way down to the bottom. Because the treasures go of who we really are, not who we think we are. We think we're this person that was shamed and abused and less than and all these other things because that's the pain that we experienced. But you go all the way down to the core and you find this unfathomable level of love that's inside there. So that's what this work is really about. It's really a spiritual awakening of who we really are by using symptoms to get there. So that's what it's really about. We should mark that section. I should put it in the book, right? Okay. Any other questions about the process before we do a breakout and we'll have you helping each other find emotional cause? Okay. Anything there?
Nope. Nobody's raising their hand.
Okay. So what I would suggest is, Devin, do you want to talk about how the breakout will happen?
Yeah. I'll basically click a button. You'll be hooked up with a partner. I don't know if it's 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. You might have one group of three. But then we're going to, what, give them 20 minutes or 10 minutes? Or
I think we'll give them 20 minutes each.
So 20 minutes each to apply.
And put, if there is a group of three, put the odd person in who already knows the emotional cause so we don't have to do a 60-minute section on it.
Are you telling me that?
Yes.
Okay, because I can't do that. It's random.
Okay, well, hopefully the third person will be somebody we already worked with.
Right.
Okay.
And then if you have any technical issues while you're in the breakout groups, press 2. If you have any issues about the process, press 1. But most of those questions will be answered once we, you know, reconvene. So, yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so what I would suggest is just do what I did. Ask the questions, take notes, and then feed the information back. Around this time, was there an emotional situation that had some of these components? Start with the big answers first, the underlined ones, and then work your way out to the lesser ones. And it usually becomes abundantly clear what the issue is. So hopefully you'll all do this very easily. And so we will reconvene. We'll probably take a 10-minute break afterwards, and we'll reconvene in about 50 minutes.
Okay.
Or we can just go. We can just reconvene afterwards, and then what do you think, Devin? Should we take a break or just go straight through?
Take a break when? After we reconvene.
After the people do their 20 minutes back and forth.
Well, perhaps there'll be some questions, and we can approach that, and then maybe a break.
Yeah. Then I think it'll be okay. So let's
go all the way through. Yeah.
Okay. Let's just go straight on through. So when you finish, come back. We'll be meeting in about 40 minutes from now, whatever that is on your clock. These clocks in the world don't agree. Maybe that's why all the wars happen, because the clocks don't agree with each other. All right. So why don't we go ahead and do that now, and Devin will set that up for you.
Okay. All right, you guys. Have fun.